It's time now for a look at the day's top business news with Brian Quinn. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Karis.
You're starting in the Middle East, where renewed strikes between Iran and the United States over the weekend have sent crude oil prices rising once again.
So back on Friday, international oil benchmark Brent crude settled below $70 a barrel for the first time since the war began back in February. Brent now back above that $70 mark, above $72 actually, with its U.S. counterpart WTI also touching above $70 on Monday. Crude prices have more or less erased their war-related gains amid peace talks between Washington and Tehran, with ship traffic once again transiting the crucial Strait of Hormuz, through which some 20% of the world's oil and gas typically flows. The conflict, though, has demonstrated just how vulnerable energy supplies can be when their transport relies on passage through easily disrupted choke points. Gulf Arab states that rely on oil revenues have been scrambling to find alternatives to the Hormuz Strait for getting their crude to market. Saudi Arabia, in particular, has been working on expanding its cross-country pipeline capacity in order to move crude from Persian Gulf facilities to the Red Sea on its western coast. U.S. officials say Iran's leverage over the global energy supply will be waning as alternatives are developed. Take a listen here.
The Gulf Arabs are creating all kinds of alternatives to the Straits of Hormuz. The UAE is moving oil through its pipeline that it's expanding. The Saudi Arabia is moving oil through its pipeline that it's expanding. We will create alternatives to our basing posture there. We will harden some. Some may go underground. Others will move. So this leverage that Iran thinks it has now is diminishing faster and faster, literally every week.
And Brian, what are we seeing on the wider market so far today?
So, Karis, here in Europe, markets opened fairly flat amid warnings from the Bank of International Settlements over inflation tied to the war in Iran and debt levels. I mean, the massive global investment in AI infrastructure, only the DAX in Frankfurt managing to gain at the open. Over on the Asian index is a mostly positive picture, rather particularly in Hong Kong, where the Hang Seng is up nearly 2% to end the day. The Nikkei in Japan lagging a bit, with shares in heavy industry dropping amid widening export curbs from China aimed at denying Japanese manufacturers access to Chinese goods that could be used to manufacture military equipment. Those restrictions are part of an ongoing spat between the two countries over comments from Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi that a Chinese invasion of Taiwan could provoke a Japanese military response. The Kospi in Seoul, meanwhile, clawing its way out of the red after earlier losses at Korean chipmakers Samsung and SK Hynix, as the two announced big investment plans for the southwest of the country. The South Korean government, meanwhile, announcing more than $500 billion in AI infrastructure spending over the next decade. Analysts say investors are growing skittish over the massive spending on AI.
The AI ship, although we love the technology, everyone loves the idea, it's like a cruise ship where the captain knows where they're going. The passengers don't know where this is going. Passengers get nervous. The captain is the CEOs of these companies putting billions and billions and billions of dollars of infrastructure into the AI. The market is the passengers saying, when are we going to be profitable here?
Well, finally, for business, China's top trade official is in Brussels for what could be tense meetings with his EU counterpart.
Chinese Commerce Minister Wang Wanzhao in meeting with EU Trade Commissioner Maros Sefcovic on Monday. On the agenda for Europe especially is the growing trade imbalance between the two economies. Last year, Europe's trade deficit with China hit 360 billion euros. Brussels is growing increasingly alarmed by Chinese manufacturing overcapacity and is exploring potential protectionist measures to counter what it sees as existential threats to Europe's industrial base. From 2005 to 2024, Chinese companies received anywhere from 3 to 8 times the level of state subsidies compared to businesses in the OECD group of Western economies. Brussels is reportedly considering new higher tariffs on Chinese goods, import quotas, and even a potential new instrument that could compel European businesses to diversify their suppliers in fields like microchips and rare earth minerals. Europe will be walking a fine line, though. It absolutely wants to avoid an all-out trade war with its second largest trading partner, China.
All right, Brian Quinn, thank you very much for that business.